This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Sarah Hugh and Doc 2 on FUBAR Radio.
Alright, alright, it's that time of week again.
Alright, alright.
Sarah, Hugh and Michael Payne too, filling in for Doc Brown again. Lovely to have you back.
Thank you. It's
friends.
Lovely to be back.
Oh, we like you. We like him, don't we, Sarah? He's a good guy.
Yes. He's part of the family now.
Sarah stopped me from littering today.
Did she?
I noticed you litter actually the other week, because I'm very against littering.
Yeah.
Like,
did you?
I just think it, yeah, I did. So I see that this is obviously something you've not been trained into. But you're showing your age, because in my generation, I remember there was this big push, like when we were in primary school, like the anti-littering campaign,
which
I think they scrapped.
What did I discard in an appropriate manner? Was it a cigarette butt?
No. It was like blatant littering. Yeah. But either way, we have to be the change we want to see in the world. So everyone wants to complain about how dirty and nasty London is. So it's like, well, what are you going to do about it?
I hereby apologise to Sarah for littering in her presence.
Not
to play
Sarah.
Devil's advocate, though, I am keeping, road sweepers and people of that ilk employed.
And killing wildlife as well at the same time.
I had to say, yeah, so.
Hey,
yeah,
dolphins deserve to smoke too. I think that's fair enough. You flush it straight down, mate. They deserve. Why shouldn't they have the same opportunity and freedom of choice that we have? You know what I mean? I think so.
It's
hey,
true.
We were all just hanging out not even an hour ago, the three of us in Camden with Pete Rock.
Radio friends.
My God, how good was that?
That was a life-affirming moment for me.
It really was. Really, really was. Very exciting to catch up with him. He's doing a show at Proud Camden tomorrow
night.
And they're doing a few other shows with De La Soul around the country. And we are going to play that chat for you next week. So excited about that.
Yes. Very I will be cool. listening to that because Doc's back next week.
Is he?
I hear Doc's back next week, so I won't be here for that, but I will be listening in and just doing whatever I used to do on Tuesdays.
Littering.
Masturbating, actually.
Masturbating and littering.
Ferociously while littering.
Good on you, mate.
Hey, you're honest.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very, very excited to play that for you next week, that chat with Pete Rock. But we got a massive show coming up today as well. A couple of real heavyweights are going to be coming into the studio. We've got Homeboy Sandman.
Brilliant.
From the States. It's going to be dropping by just after 5. And also Remy, a mate of mine who is a very, very big rapper in Australia.
Sweet.
Really, really popped off over the last sort of 12, 18 months. He's on a European tour at the moment. Him and his DJ, Sensible J, are going to be coming into the studio in about half an hour and doing a live chat.
Blessing
for us,
yeah, live session. I can't wait to hear that.
Bang. Coming up next, though, Michael Payne. Adults behaving badly.
Oh, I was vexed when I read this story in the paper, man.
He's going to get into that in a second, but it's definitely something I think most of us can relate to and we see often. But before that, there's a track, I don't know if you have it ready, called Strawberry Letter, because I think we need to send a special shout out to the great Lewis Johnson, of the Johnson Brothers, who sadly passed away, but you know, he's a real legend in bass playing. He's played for Michael Jackson on so many incredible letters and so many incredible records, so I just felt like we needed to drop this track.
And also just while we're on the subject, that R.I.P. B.B. King, because
I know, yeah
we missed that.
And
they
think he might have even been poisoned. They're looking into it now as well.
No way.
Yeah, they reckon the people that he's two people that were looking after him, his aides, may have poisoned him maliciously.
Damn.
Or not. They don't know.
No.
It's been investigated.
Damn.
Which is really, really terrible news.
Yeah.
But anyway, big shout out. Should we have a minute's silence? It's always good for radio.
We could well do.
No, let's not do that.
No?
I think
not.
Here we go. This is Strawberry Letter 23, the Brothers Johnson. You're on FUBAR. It's Sarah Hugh and Michael Payne too. Going to be with you till 6 p.m. today. Oh, nice one, Sarah. Shouting out that one. The Brothers Johnson. Strawberry Letter 23. You're on FUBAR. It's Sarah Hugh and Michael Payne too, filling in for Doc Brown. And it's not good to judge people, is it? Judging people, it's not a good thing. But at the same token, it's quite fun.
It is fun.
And it's fun to judge people like you were just talking about before.
Like this
Michael.
Bitch.
Yep.
I'm actually fuming about this, man. Reading it just really, really, really got to me. So this kiddie, he's gone to see his team, Preston North End. Congratulations to them on their promotion. Yeah, they beat Swindon Town and at the league playoff on Sunday. And, you know, striker Jermaine Beckford throws his shirt into the crowd.
Is he like a superstar kind of age?
He is for Preston North End.
Okay. Oh, that backhanded compliment.
Yeah. In context, he's a superstar. Okay. And and so he's thrown his shirt out, and he's obviously this kid's hero. He scored a hat trick that game. Wow. So he's obviously gone up in the kids' estimations as well.
Yeah.
It's a big day.
Massive day. This kid's caught the shirt. Lucky, you know, lucky little shit in a good way. This woman has fought lucky little shit in a bad way. The operative two words are little shit. Yeah. She's gone up to this kid and she's literally tried to wrestle the shirt from his hands. When she can't, her male companion in a very cliche Adidas tracksuit has come up to him and literally just prized the shirt from his hands.
Serious?
And giving it to... And there's
was
photographic evidence.
Film?
This is all on CCTV, and they've taken some stills. This paper that I'm reading, they've taken some stills. And it's just the saddest case of events. They basically mugged him.
But hold on, who were the adults that were with this child?
The adults
at the time?
I'm going to name and shame.
Yeah, do it.
Right?
No, so, I mean, who was accompanying him to the match?
I'm not too sure. It doesn't actually say.
Let this go on.
That's what I'm thinking. That did they stand there and let this go on? If there were any adults there, then shame on them as well. And this kid was 8 years old, man.
So what pieces of shit?
This kid was 8 years old, mugged by a woman who I'm going to name as mum of two, Vicky Timbrell from Manchester.
Wow.
Shame on you, Victoria. So, I'm going to use your full name. Shame on you.
And what are you saying, that she they put it up on eBay or something as well?
Yeah, there's reports that a shirt has appeared on eBay for $1,500.
Oh my God.
$1,500. This kid has seen his hero throwing the shirt. He's thinking, you know, I've got this shirt now. He can even grow into the damn thing, you know? Yeah. It's going to last him literally forever, right? Because he's 8 now, you know, he's going to grow into this thing. Or he can just put it on his wall, whatever, right?
Yeah.
But this woman has literally seen $1,500 fly through the air.
She and got someone bills else to pay. Catch it.
You know what I mean? She's got two mouths to feed. Fair play to her. But you don't mug kids, man.
I mean, it's a bit of a cliche, or maybe a bit of a classic thing, is stealing candy from a baby.
Yeah, you know.
You know, kids are easy to beat up and rob.
That's it. And, you know, back in the day when I used to rob kids, you know, it wasn't it. But then, you know, I, you know, Sarah probably stopped me from doing that as well, just like she stopped me from littering.
How do you reckon, if she was so adamant about you not littering, and big ups to you, Sarah Love, because I'm against it as well, imagine how she'd be about you beating up and robbing kids.
I know. She'd probably beat me up and rob me and give it back.
I'd take the shit out of you.
Yes, and rightly so. So I deserve to have this shit kicked out of me if
that
I was the kid.
Really bad. That is literally adults behaving childishly. You know, like, well, no, maybe not even is it childishly or just absolute piece
just
of shit.
Just badly, yeah.
I know a friend of mine, her ex-husband, right? Where after they'd split up, and he would come over to pick up the kids, their kids, to take them out. He used to like pull up in the driveway, and then she'd be like, "Oh," and then you know, my daughter would run back in the house and be real secretive and run back out.
Mm.
Never knew what she was doing. He was asking her to go into her piggy bank. Can you get money out of some change out of your thing and bring it out to me? So, you know,
damn.
Every second week when he came over, he'd raid her piggy bank.
What a bastard.
What a piece of shit.
What a bastard.
My goodness.
What a piece of shit. Isn't that terrible?
It's like the Are You Taking the Piss segment come very, very early, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just shameless.
Absolutely shameless. That's what it is. It's especially in an arena like that, in a setting like that, where you're in full view. You are in full view. You are at the playoff finals, mate. You're at the playoff finals. Everyone can see what you're doing. Do you know what I mean?
It is really weird that no one, like you said, Sarah, that no one stopped them. That's really bizarre.
Football,
like,
such a.
Did this child go on his own to the match?
That's what I want to know.
And that's why
man.
They were like, right.
Yeah.
It doesn't. The woman does claim to know the kid to be a family friend. Right? If you're a family friend, you don't do that.
No.
You do not do that, right? No. I would ostracise someone from my family if I find out that my 8-year-old son had been mugged by their mum. I'm sorry.
That's a mugging.
That's reasonable.
I'd go around there.
It really is a mugging. That's no two ways about it.
A mugging. Yeah, I'd go around there and get it back.
Yeah. You know?
It's pretty reasonable.
That poor kid.
So out of order.
But hold on, so £1,500 for this guy who's this a shirt, star
it's memorabilia.
In the context of Preston.
Yes, exactly.
So how much then is like a Beckham shirt?
Oh man, that
if Beckham threw a shirt into the crowd, how much
easy.
Would that
killed, 16, she would have killed 17,
the kid for Beckham's shirt.
Oh, yeah, she
would have killed the kid
blood
for Beckham's shirt,
spilt.
Honestly. Because not only would it been Beckham's it would have been Beckham's last game in his career. You know, and Beckham is a legend, he is an icon. So his shirts on eBay must be going for tens of thousands of pounds, you
really?
Know. That's a year's rent.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
So she would have probably killed this kid.
But the sad thing is, I think there are too often there are examples of adults acting childish. Even that's dissing kids to say that that's childish behaviour.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing, because most kids wouldn't even do that. I could understand if she'd gone in for the, you know, the shirt was obviously thrown. If you've kind of exerted your, you know what I mean? If you're obviously a lot heavier than a kid. So if you've kind of barged the kid out of the way and grabbed the shirt, cool, fair play. But whoever's caught the shirt, that should be it.
How did she get identified?
CCTV. She's wearing quite a garish pink tracksuit as well, so she's not hard to.
Did people like say, "Oh yeah, we recognise that person from CCTV"?
Yeah. Her face is in her face. I'm showing the for our listeners. I'm showing the picture to Sarah and Hugh now, just in case they ever sort of come
bump into her.
Manchester. Just make sure you're not wearing a football shirt. You know what I mean?
There is something about football games as well. Like parents do go crazy. Like because I played football when I was a kid, and the amount of times that you'd see the kids would be standing next.
They don't give a damn.
Mortified. So embarrassed. The parents losing their minds.
Yeah.
Literally acting like kids.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, you know, you mean at proper football games? Yeah. Because I was even thinking local, of whatever. When you
even
have
if it's
like
Sunday
the
league.
School teams.
The parents are more in it than
the kids are.
My friend was telling me a story when he was playing for his team, and he went into a tackle with a guy. My friend's mixed race, and the guy that he went into the tackle with was a white kid. It's a sport. It's a contact sport. He's tackled it fair and square. It wasn't even a foul. The kid's dad starts shouting racial abuse from the touchline.
Oh my god!
How old were these kids?
They were like 14 at the time.
That is so messed up.
And the kid's dad. The kid's
so
dad.
So messed up.
People need help.
Yeah, big time.
Do you know what though? Like, you know, talking about adults behaving childishly, like it is fun to judge. It's fun 100%. To judge people. I reckon let's keep this rolling. We want to hear from you guys as well. You can tweet us at FUBAR Radio or FUBAR Radio on the Facebook. Let us know. Have you seen adults acting childishly?
Or just like shamelessly? Because like you said, I suppose it's a bit of an insult to children to sort of attribute
behavior.
These things to them.
Yep.
What shameless behaviour have you seen adults participating in that you just feel like you should phone in or tweet to us or email us or whatever.
Bang, and we'll get your stories up next. Here's some new De La Soul featuring Nas. Got it. This one, you're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Michael Payne 2 filling in for Doc Brown. You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Michael Payne 2 filling in for Doc Brown. Some brand new De La Soul there, got it. That one's featuring Nas.
Do you know who produced that?
Negative Ghost Rider, I do not know.
Oh, Negative. I thought you were saying that was the name. I was like, oh, I've never heard of him.
Negative. Yeah. We are talking about adults acting childishly. So a lady robbed a kid at a football match.
Football shirt. Yeah, he's in the, now that cup final, that sort of playoff final was going to go down in history as his life as the day he got mugged by a mum.
He's going to be the kid known as the kid who got robbed.
By someone's madre.
Yeah, it's terrible. So if you just joined us, we've just been chatting. The story popped up where a kid caught a shirt from a star player and a lady mugged him for it.
Yeah.
There's no two ways about
in
it.
In a nutshell, yeah. Aided by her male companion.
And we want to hear from you guys. Like, when have you seen just childish behaviour from adults or just plain blatant shameless behaviour? Tuesday drive at foodbarradio.com. Hit us on twitter.com/foodbarradio. You can even call us too. I love hearing your voices. 0330-223-0200. I think shameless behaviour, we were talking about this earlier, Michael, being in walking through Camden on our way to the show. And a little while ago in Camden I saw some innocent tourists. Well, I felt kind of bad for them.
Yeah.
But I find it with sometimes, because I even noticed when we were waiting to get the food, some dudes started taking picture of me eating when I was ordering the food from the Mexican spot.
That was me. I Instagrammed it as well. If you'd like to see the back of Sarah Love's head on your Instagram feed,
your Instagram's full of my feet.
Basically,
your
head and feet.
No,
yeah,
we're back at this again.
But it was a really good caption, though. I said, I wrote Jamexican, old El Paso Pasa.
Even though I'm not Jamaican, but yeah.
Oh,
this is the thing that is
really
so
annoying.
Funny. Like, people always assume that you're Jamaican because you have dreadlocks.
Yeah.
But
I should know better because I'm Nigerian and I have dreadlocks.
Exactly. So I'm pretty surprised, Michael.
I'm so ignorant.
Assuming I'm Caribbean, not saying anything wrong with that. That's fantastic.
I'm having a very right-wing week.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I think, but no, in Camden though, because I just think it's a bit odd, like to take someone's picture without asking them. It's different if you're on stage or something.
Yeah.
But like taking someone's picture without permission. And then it just reminded me of a little while ago walking through Camden and I saw some tourists who were like, wow, saw the punks in Camden. They were like, oh my God, that's so cool. And so then started taking pictures of the dude. And then the dude just got aggy with them and was just like, you need to give me a fiver for that. Wow. Give me a fiver or I'm breaking the phone. Delete it off the phone and give me a five. Oh, you can't just take my picture like that. And so I was just like, well, props to them. Fair enough.
Fair play to them, yeah.
You know, that'll learn them. But yeah, the poor tourists didn't realise how we get down in London in sometimes.
I
think, but also just adults acting like shamelessly or childishly is, I think, on the regular, you see adults acting like brats.
Yeah. Mm. Well, to be fair, Sarah, what about when we came out, when we got off the bus on the way here from Camden and we were walking along the pavement and we're just outside the sort of Sainsbury's on Canning Road. And there's a little girl, she's maybe about five or six. She's standing slap bang in the middle of the pavement, swinging
this
fluorescent jacket just round her head. Right?
So, and obviously
she's causing
pavement.
An obstruction by herself just by standing in the middle of the pavement.
Man.
But then this jacket is being... Sarah just went really loudly, excuse me. And her mum was standing there. But in all fairness to Sarah, her mum could have just told her daughter, love, there's people coming along the pavement now, so maybe stop swinging your damn jacket before you hit someone. Do you know what I mean?
Well, but just stand there and keep swinging
your jacket.
Yeah,
keep swinging your jacket, but
just
get out of the way with it. So for me, that was a kind of an example of an adult maybe acting childishly. You know?
Yeah.
Be an adult about it. You know, tell the kids, stop swinging the damn jacket in the middle of the pavement.
We got an email here. It's tuesdaydrive@fubarradio.com. It's from Stacey in Fulham, this one. She says, my friend's dad likes to dress as a clown. It freaks the shit out of me. He seems to enjoy it, though. It's just a hobby. Adults acting childish.
Adults acting very... That's a quintessential.
Yeah, that it really is.
Just like a pastime, dressing as a clown.
Does he know that it scares her?
Or just for special occasions? Because that would creep me out.
That would creep out anyone.
That's just creepy. Adults with creepy behaviour.
Waking up with a clown staring at you.
Maybe he just likes donning makeup and the clown outfit is just a way of kind of... You know, kind of throwing people off a bit. Maybe he's maybe he's just sort of venturing into cross-dressing.
Yeah, yeah.
This
well,
is how
actually,
he's venting.
That reminds me of this is like going back a long, long time. But a friend of mine in Melbourne, her dad used to. He had this obsession with Pink. You know, the singer Pink.
Yeah, had an obsession with Pink.
So
first album was brilliant.
She used to like, and he was a biker as well, like a big burly dude. And she was like every weekend, just without failure, he'd be at home playing the Pink CD, the live DVD over and over again.
Learning the dance moves.
And like, you know, fully like getting into it, singing along. And she's like, I had to stop bringing my friends around. I just couldn't do it anymore.
That's
Pink of all people.
My dad was a 6-year-old girl, essentially.
Isn't she quite acrobatic in her live shows?
Yeah. But fair play to her. That first album was amazing. It was basically an R&B album.
I listened to the whole album. But you see, that's what bugs me as well. So many artists do that, where they use things like R&B to bring attention to themselves.
Well,
so then they stand out differently to
the other
pop thing. Then after that, it was like
she didn't
want to
do it.
LA
Reid made her do this album. Mm. He made her do an R&B album because she had an R&B voice. She always wanted to do rock and stuff. So you can see the proper difference between her first and sophomore album and every other album she's done since. But the first album was basically LA Reid channeling himself.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, she can say no.
She can, but I think, you know being her first, I think she was a bit scared. You know, she just got into the industry, I think. And, you know, this was a major label album. You don't say no to LA Reid.
Well, this is sheds light on how the industry works, you know, and why it's like people end up being puppets kind of thing. Because it was bizarre. It's like, hold on, I thought you were that, but now you're this.
You're absolutely right. I loved it. I, for one, was a massive fan of that.
We got another email, and it's at tuesdaydrive@fubarradio.com. It's from Dave in Essex. He says, my mum thinks it's funny to call me Lambkin and do baby talk in public. I hate it, but she does it all the time. I swear she does it just to wind me up. She wants me to call her Mrs. Flumpy.
How old are you, Dave, mate?
What the hell?
You're with your mum on the streets all the time, by the way.
Yeah. Can't leave the house without...
I think you should have put your name at the end of that email,
Dave.
Even
my niece is 11 and starting to go out on her bike to the park with her mates about the parents.
Oh, God.
But, the baby talk, that is kind of like...
It's a bit whack.
Yeah. Mm. It's just disturbing. You know, maybe one sentence... is tolerable.
Yeah, maybe when she's cutting up your meat into little chunks, mate, and feeding you, yeah. maybe
with
she
the
can talk.
Baby.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe she could do the baby talk then, but not when you're out on the street. Not when she's let you off the what's that thing that parents have nowadays?
Oh, the leash.
Not when she's let you off the leash, mate.
Oh, God.
My mum calls me Tuppence. In public, aww. Everywhere.
That's not too childish, though. That's all right.
She's like, oh, I'm a little baby boy, my tuppence.
All right, yeah, okay.
Oh, Mom, I'm a man, all right? I'm a man. I'm 33. I live in London with my nan.
I'm a grown-ass man, dog.
I live with my nan. Such a grown-up.
Street cred.
Oh, poor day. Hey, we've got Remy, rapper Remy, and his DJ.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Sensible Jay, going to be coming in very, very shortly.
Is Jay actually sensible?
No, he's not.
Is that an ironic name?
Another perfect example of an adult acting childishly. Yeah, they're going to be coming up soon. You're on FUBAR.
Awesome.
Dale, the funky Homer Sapien, Mr. Dobelina. You're on FUBAR. It's Sarah Hugh and Michael Payne too, filling in for Duck Brown.
In the flesh.
We've got some guests.
We have.
Very pumped about this. Not only both very, very talented people in their own right, but also friends of mine. Oh. Got Remy all the way from Australia over here on a European tour at the moment. Rapper Remy and his DJ Sensible G.
What's going on? How
welcome.
You guys doing?
Good to see you, bro.
Yes!
Getting rounds of applause, man. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Haven't actually done anything yet.
No. Just turning up, mate. You get marks just for turning up.
So, how's it all been going, guys? You've been over here for a couple of weeks now doing a bunch of shows, festivals and other things.
Yes.
How's it all been going?
It's been awesome, man. I mean, this is the first time we spent, I don't know, a significant amount of time in the UK. And it's just been rad. People are so cool out here. Everybody's taken to the music real nice, which is awesome. We played Dot to Dot Festival over the weekend, and there's not many hip-hop acts on that at all, if any. And people are still showing love, and that's always a good thing.
Is indeed.
Yeah.
Great. So how did it come about, like, you guys getting the opportunity to come over and tour?
Booking agents, man. Real exciting.
Like, it's big, man. But the thing is like Australia is so far away. It's so far away that there's not a lot of artists do get to the level, they have the opportunity to be able to come over to Europe or anywhere outside of Australia, really.
Yeah.
So it's big. It just shows that how big things are really stepping up for you guys.
It's been a big couple of years,
hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been cool. It's been really cool. And, you know, obviously the other thing is that we've won, like, a whole bunch of grants at home as well, right, which allows us to actually get over here, because that's, you know, it's not about getting here is the problem. It's that, like, that's the cash, you know, they actually make that 26-hour trip.
Well, that's it. I mean, it's not just a flight, but it's like, how do I buy Coke and booze when I'm there?
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Shit, I don't want to go all that way.
Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Sensible J's hard on that Coca-Cola addiction.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, there's a I've got senior producer.
We're getting treated like royalty in here. We get applause when we rock up. We've got glasses of water next to us. It's ridiculous, man. Yeah, tap water.
Well, it needed to be a big deal today, because when I came to your show last weekend, the Aussie barbecue thing at the Hoxton Square, we were chatting then. We realised your first ever interview ever on radio was with me way back in the day.
Exactly. So that was crazy.
Was that back in Oz?
Yeah. Sweet. Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Reunion on the other side of the world.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was on top of, like, this dirty pub. You got to, like, you got to crawl upstairs to get through the back. It was the coolest interview I've ever done. Yeah.
It was good fun. So, Sensible J, mate, what's been going on? So, if you guys wouldn't, Sarah and Justin wouldn't have had a chance, I'm sure, to see show yet. But, so Sensible J obviously produces a lot of the stuff. Mm-hmm. But when he DJs, he DJs with a sampler, with an MPC while drumming, is it? Or what have you got there?
It's just a Serato and a little mixer next to the hi hats. So,
nice.
It looks really dope.
When you hit play, you got to hit the cymbal on the one at the same time.
Right. Yeah. Does that take all sorts of, like, coordination? I can't even fathom.
Yeah.
I'm just really shit with my left hand in general. using it at the same time as using my right would be, my head would explode, man.
It's just, multitasking. No, it's been.
It's very cool. Visually, why did you, what's a.
Necessity.
Really?
Yeah, we had a third member and he didn't want to play live anymore. And instead of getting someone else, I just said, I'll do it. I normally.
Do you resent him a little bit for that?
Yeah, I hate him.
Yeah.
I hate his cuss.
I don't even know when I hate him.
He's like, no, it's all love. I've known him since we were kids. So.
Oh, fair, yeah. No, you get that. You get a lot of, like, big bands, for instance. You know, Arctic Monkeys had a member that left.
Yeah, right.
Just didn't want to do the touring. Mm. The XX as well, they had a member that just ducked out. It's like, fuck this, I can't be bothered anymore, kind of thing. I'm going to just go and be regular. Mm. Zayn from One Direction left.
Yeah, I know you were.
That was pretty much exactly the same.
He was my favourite member.
Yeah.
He was my favourite member.
Do you know any other members?
I know Harry Styles, but Zayn's my favourite member. just saying.
So what's been happening for you back in Oz as well? Because the people that are brand new to Remy and Sensible J, like things have really happened quite quick over the last couple of years. Like, you know, so what's been actually happening for you back in Oz?
What should we say? I don't know. We won a whole bunch of awards, which is the reason we're here. We won like Independent Hip Hop Album of the Year, and then we won 50 grand to go tour.
50 grand?
Yeah, overseas touring, which is why we're here, because we
strong.
Didn't have
Killer.
50 grand.
Yeah. And now we got 50. Line, right?
Yeah, and we still don't have it. We just went all the flats and stuff, but that's the reason we're here.
Yeah.
And then we won it's called the AMP Music Award, which is kind of like Australia's version of the Mercury Prize, for progressing music across the country with our most recent record, Raw Times Infinity. And then a bunch of other stuff like that. We're going home to tour for 3 weeks before we come back to Europe for 3 months to play about 12 festivals over European summer and stuff. We'll be back in UK as well, which would be sick. That's kind of how things are going at the moment, which is good. Crazy. Like, you can't be mad at that.
Not at all. I think you guys, it's because obviously sometimes it seems like a bit of a unilateral thing. Like, there are, I've got like tons of artist friends that get to go over to the Antipodes and play festivals, you know, but you don't very often see people who are huge in the Antipodes coming over here, apart from like Kylie Minogue.
Yes.
Which, you know, I'm
no,
cool.
We can't get bloody rid of her. Take her back with you.
Yeah, we'll swap. You guys be a mainstay over here, and you just take Kylie back.
You know what?
And Danny.
I should be so lucky.
Yeah. I like that. I see what you did there.
No, it is true though. Like, you know, there's not a lot of people do really get the opportunity to come out. So that's really big, man. You guys are coming back again for 3 months.
We're going to come back to Europe for 3 months. And we're going to be touring around, but we will be back in the UK, and then we might be coming back at the end of the year as well. I mean, we just love the UK, especially London. You know, that everybody's just cool as hell. There's so much culture. Mm. Like, I've never seen this many black people in my entire life, except for I went to Nigeria, because you know that shit doesn't exist in Australia.
Yeah. What is your background then?
Nigerian Australian.
Big up.
Yes.
I'm Nigerian as well.
Yeah, boy.
Taking over.
Slowly.
And I see you guys performing at Soulfest this next
Summer.
Because now I saw the last one. It was quite funny. I was like to my friends, this has got to be the blackest thing that has ever happened in the history of Australia.
Easily.
And there's like people there like, couldn't believe my eyes. All the black people everywhere. It was incredible. I know, it was magic.
You were at the show.
I wasn't at the show, but yeah, I know tons of people who were over there, because I'm surprised that I've not actually met you guys before, because I've been toured in Australia like 12 times, so it's funny that we've not crossed paths. Yeah, and then it was funny because your name actually came up yesterday. We're talking to a friend of mine, Kate Scanlon, who does a few different projects out here and stuff, but yeah, she mentioned you to me also.
Really?
Like, yeah, how do I not know?
How did that come up in conversation?
Well, she and I are working on a few top secret projects, and then she was saying that she's doing this whole thing working with people in Oz, and then mentioned that you guys were gonna be here, and
sick.
We're elaborating on that. So
was that Move song?
Which one? Was that the Music to Move project? Is that she coordinate that?
Oh, yes. Yeah. She does a lot of dance off, yeah.
Sweet, because, we did a joint for her, like 3 months ago?
Yeah.
4 months ago? Yeah, so that would be it.
Mm.
I think we're going to see her on Wednesday at our show at Tooting Tram and Social. Yeah, she's going to come down.
Good people. Yes. Kate Scanlan. Big up. Check out Scanners Inc. She's doing ill things for hip-hop out here.
Mm. Yeah, she's lovely.
Do you reckon you could see you guys living out here, moving out here one day?
If it's an option, hell yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see why not.
Did you lot see the other day it was Eurovision Song Contest?
Yeah, we saw that.
And Australia was part of Eurovision
Song
Contest.
Yeah, the country shifted for the weekend.
Yeah.
Exploded all the way up.
But, you know, maybe is this something that you'd be interested in representing your people's at the Eurovision Song Contest in the future? It'd be quite an alternative sound.
Yeah, you know.
The correct answer is no, though.
Yeah.
My initial gut reaction would be a hell no.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. God bless your gut, mate.
Yeah. Oh, we can. All right, so you guys are going to do a live thing for us in a sec as well, yeah?
Yeah, we can do that. Let me grab the instrumental.
All right, cool. We got Remy and his DJ, Sensible J, in the studio. And coming up very shortly. Yes. Maybe coming up after this. We were lucky enough to meet this man today.
We were indeed.
Pete Rock. CL Smooth. Take you there. You're on FUBAR. You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Michael Payne too, filling in for Doc Brown, and we are lucky enough to be joined in the studio by Remy, rapper from Australia, and his DJ Sensible J, out here on a European tour at the moment. Lads, it's very good to have you in the studio.
No, man, it's good to be here.
Fellow Australian friend. Yeah, man, it's great. Like, so obviously you guys have toured here before, haven't you? You've been over kind
mad
of
briefly. We played it played in Dawson at birthdays.
Good venue.
It was, yeah, man, it was tight. You know, the vibe was awesome. Everybody seemed like they just down there to enjoy the music and stuff. Very Melbourne, which I love. And yeah, so that we came here in October last year. And then this has been our next installment in our UK tour dates.
So how are you, like, because I came to see you guys, as I said, last couple of weeks ago or something, out at Hoxton Square, and it was like, mate, it was probably the gig of the day, as far as people were saying, the crowd response-wise. Like, how have you been surprised, or were you a bit nervous about the reaction to Australian rap out here?
I think we kind of got past that at Dalston. Last time we were out here, you know, anywhere you play for the first time, you have absolutely no idea.
Yeah.
And then as soon as you start traveling around, you realize people are the same wherever you go. If you bring it, they're going to respond, you know. And it's very different, you know, in Europe, a lot of people, like especially Germany and stuff, they're more reserved, but they still love your stuff. And you come to the UK, it's like, you know, it's a bit more wild. Everybody changes everywhere, but, you know, at the core, we're all human. So no matter what, if you do your thing, hopefully people will bring it back around full circle.
It's a positive sentiment. Good
guy.
Very positive sentiment.
Can you get another clap for that?
Mate, you should have saved that till like the last word. For like the last word. That was too good.
I think an angel just got its wings.
Shit,
a baby,
man,
just cried for the first time.
Oh, man.
Shit.
You guys are making me sound ridiculous. I'm so honestly, it is.
But you know, I'm very... It's cool that you did birthdays as a first gig.
Yeah.
Because Dawson in general and Hackney, and I'm sure Sarah, you'll know this, it can be seen as a bit of a baptism of fire because it's so cool now.
Okay, really? Okay.
Yeah, playing a gig there is probably the equivalent of playing like in New York. It would be like playing like somewhere in like, I don't know, like Brooklyn or like Williamsburg, because it's so cool.
Okay,
it's cool that you didn't know that before. Yeah. Because if I was from Australia and I was playing my first gig in birthdays, I'd be shitting myself.
Yeah,
like, I'm not gonna lie. I'd have been like, they're all little hipster bastards. No one is gonna give me a reaction. They're all just gonna be like writing on the little blogs about how, do you know what I mean?
It's
amazing that you had that as your baptism of fire, because it really is actually a baptism of fire, mate. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, doing a gig in birthdays first, so that's really cool,
man. We had the nerves regardless, so it's like, you know, I don't think I could have shit myself more than what was already going down. So
it's
just
a big
lucky
thing, man, especially coming to London, you know, at all, the cultural hub of the world, and smashing it. It's a really big thing. You should pat yourself both on the back.
100%
go on.
I'm 100%. Doing it.
So you're gonna very pumped about this. Gonna do a live thing for us right now.
Really
live
thing.
What are you guys gonna do?
This is a joint called Living, which is off our album World Times Infinity, which we're talking about just before, and it basically is talking about Australian life and how people work. And you guys could tell me what you think.
We're going to make it seem a bit like Boiler Room in there, isn't it? We're just going to be dancing aimlessly in the background and just like filming ourselves just being really cool and hip.
Did you see that one with all those people dancing in the record store? It was like, I can't remember what DJ it was, but it was just, I don't know, like 400 people in a record store just doing the Harlem Shake or something.
was it Forte?
I don't know if it was Forte.
Because I know Forte's set went off at Boiler Room.
Yeah?
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, no, I think it was a brother on the deck, so I don't think it was Forte.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Maybe EZ.
Maybe, yeah,
might
that might
DJ
be
DJ EZ, because people do rock out to EZ.
Yeah.
You can't not dance to EZ.
Whatever it was, I've never seen a record store get that live. It was incredible.
Here we go. This is Remy and his DJ Sensible Jade live in the studio for us.
Hell yeah. Can I get a little more beat in my headphones? I sound like Eminem. Yeah, thank you.
Trying to guess it, man. Yes. All right. That's Remy live in the studio here, FUBAR. Mate, killing it, bro. Man, killing it, babe.
Thank you, Mom.
How you doing? Even got a sneaky sip of water in there, doing that.
Yeah, man. That's the beauty of leaving space in your music. You can do all the wild shit.
Was it strategically placed breaks, was it?
Yeah, man, we're going to have like a 7.5 minute interlude in our next joint so I can just go off and make some pancakes or some shit.
Sensible Jay, thanks, mate, for doing that. Good guy. So, how's it? Are you guys collaborating with other people when you make it, or is it pretty much just the two of you locked in the studio? Or
now we're doing a lot more collaboration. There's a few things actually around the UK, but we kind of got to keep them silent until they're done. There's a few good dudes definitely out here, and I'm looking to do more. No doubt about that. Mm. You know, because I feel that's the best way to grow as well. The more people you work with, the more you learn outside of your own realm, and the more you can take back to your own realm.
Good man, Michael Payne. You know, you left your phone on, mate. That's a case of beer.
I know.
You know the rules, mate. Your phone rings in the studio, case of beer.
In all fairness, I didn't know the rules, but I'm all for buying beer. So
yeah.
I might just leave it on all the time.
Yeah, why wouldn't you just call your friends if you're getting free beer?
Yeah,
just call
them on, yeah. That's a good idea. That's
like,
good.
Oh, your phone's on. All right, man.
Hey, would you guys want to do another live one for us? We've still got a few minutes.
Yeah.
Are you prepared, or have we just put you on the spot?
No, I'm happy to do it. Yeah. For sure. All right. We can make that beat louder in my headphones, that would be amazing.
I'm sure we can do
so that, I can
man.
Go in. I feel like I'm whispering.
Yeah. All right, here we go. It's Remy and Sensible Jay live in the studio whenever you're ready, lads.
Yeah.
It's Remy live in the studio. Man, we still got him in the country for another couple of days. Got a couple of shows coming up. I'm going to be at a Tooting Tram and Social tomorrow night.
Yes, indeed.
And then Old Blue Last as well on Friday night. Yeah. And then and the Vice Party as well.
Yeah, that's not in the Old Blue Last.
Oh, are you getting quite a lot by Vice then, it seems?
They're being pretty good to us. We played their show at The Great Escape, and then, like, you know, definitely with the gigs side of things have been real good. Brilliant. They've actually been pretty good with Australian hip hop as well. There's this new cat, Barrow.
Right.
And he's so dope, man. He's so dope. Ethiopian Australian. He's like 18 years old.
Yeah.
And man, he's gonna be the next
up, yeah.
Yeah, next up, definitely.
Well, lads, thank you so much for coming into the studio.
Yeah.
No, thank you for having us. Pleasure to meet you guys.
Absolutely, man. Killer. Check it out. You go Remy, look him up on Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that. Get on board. Thank you so much.
I
really appreciate having you in. We got Homeboy Sandman. He's gonna be joining us in the studio up next. You're on FUBAR. It's Black Twang featuring Estelle Trickstar. You're on FUBAR. It's Sarah Hugh and Michael Payne too, filling in for Doc Brown.
Possibly for the last time.
Or possibly forever. No, Doc Brown's back next week.
He is. I'm already looking through my phone book for like kidnappers that can get rid of him for a little bit longer so I can stay.
Very, very lucky now to have a legend. Homeboy Sandman. Wow. Yeah, all the way from the States.
We're in the house.
We're a big international show today.
Yeah, we've raised our profile. In one day. We're smashing it.
Mate, Homeboy Sandman, welcome
to the
show.
What up?
Mate.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm crazy.
Thanks for coming in.
To be hanging with y'all and hanging with Sarah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So you and Sarah, you've been in touch for a while, because I even saw on your wiki page that Sarah gets a shout out on
Sarah, she been representative and knowing about How I Get Down. One of the earliest people, if not the earliest, in the UK to really be up on How I Get Down. So
yeah,
you know, she definitely.
No, I definitely was the first person to pay you out there and out here, and I'm so proud, without it sounding patronizing, of, like, you know, just the curve that your career has taken, like, considering from those early days that I first heard of you, like, where you were still building your name and stuff, is a very different case now and everything. How's everything been going?
Everything's been going great, yo. You know, I really enjoy, you know, I really got a nice groove going on. I just write rhymes all day. I basically watch DVDs, write rhymes, and do push-ups. That's all I really do. It's a real chill life.
Same time?
Just, I alternate between them. You know what I'm saying?
Sometimes a lot like me without the writing rhymes and without the push-ups. But one out of three ain't bad. That's how the song goes, right?
You know,
is it one?
I like to watch action movies with, like, the real strong dudes getting the bad chicks. That way I get inspired to do a couple sets. You know what I'm saying? You might want to try that.
I hear that. I definitely will. I'm stuck on The Office at the moment, so that's probably where I'm going wrong.
But how has it been being like, I've not even had a chance to speak to you properly since you've been with Stones Throw and everything? How, I mean, I've heard from other Stones Throw artists how cool it is place to, you know, how much they support their artists and things. But how are you finding your experience being on the label?
I love it. I love, you know, Stones Throw. You know, I've been there since my first release was January of 2012. So I guess, you know, a little over 3 years. And I put out, I think, 7 joints. You know what I'm saying? 5 EPs and 2 LPs. With my next LP, you know, on the way, you know what I mean? Either later this year or earlier. I get to do all types of different stuff. All my joints sound different. I do producer-based joints or whatever. You know what I mean? I'm down with Stone Stone, I'm down with Peanut Butter Wolf, you know what I'm saying? Even Peanut Butter Wolf, you know, some joints he's like, oh, this is where I'm at. Like, I feel this joint, I love this joint. Other joints he'd be like, you know what? You know, this joint is you know, this is ill, but, you know, this isn't as much my flavor, but let's talk about it because I want to support your creative process, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, try to see my vision and all that, you know what I mean?
And material-wise, what's the current, like, what's the latest thing that everyone should be peeping?
Well, the last record that came out was called Hallways. That's the most recent joint that came out. You know, maybe hear a couple of the joints off that record today. But, you know, I got this record called Navy Blue, you know what I'm saying? That's on the horizon, you know what I'm saying? All the recording is done for it. You know, there's still a lot to be done as far as dotting I's, cross the T's, paperwork and things of this nature, you know what I'm saying? Working with others.
Stuff.
Yeah. But the Navy, you know, I haven't really been mentioning it too much. I've been talking about it. I was in LA right before I came out here, just building on it. And, you know, with the label, that's where they're based at. And, but Hallways is... You know, Hallways is definitely, you know, brand spanking fresh. Even though it came out last year, you know what I mean? I like to think of all my joints as real brand spanking fresh.
Hold on, was Fat Belly on Hallways?
Fat Belly was on White Sands. Yeah, it came out before Hallways.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. Because, that was the last time that I saw you last year where we
that
staged.
That video where you made that amazing cameo. You stole the show for that thing. Nobody realized.
Someone's got to bring it.
You definitely brought the energy. Nobody realized I'm in that video. Everybody asked me.
It was because I was like dancing with a pineapple on my head. Yes. So, I think you had it was more the pineapple that kind of stole the show.
It wouldn't have happened if you were
Who has that? The banana woman? Who has a pineapple on their head?
That was me with the pineapple on
their
head.
Oh, yeah, that was you.
Yeah.
Isn't it like a famous cartoon character with a pineapple on their head?
Oh, and then there's, what's the lady's name? There's like some legendary black performer from back in the day who with the, you know, she always had like the, that's actually where, what I was inspired from.
Okay,
that
day. That's what I was saying, was that a homage to that?
Yes, because the whole track is like about food, good food, and good living and everything. So yeah, we staged like a summer garden barbecue and shot the video for that. So
just anybody who ain't seen it, you know, Sarah Love is in it getting busy, yo. And a lot of, you know, Paul White did the beat, he's in it. It's a real, you know, Bunny Bread shot it. We did it out here in London, you know, in Waltham Stowe. Shout out to my homegirl Jenny, we used that backyard. It was fun.
Yeah, that was a fun day. And who have you been working with on Hallways and like producers wise and stuff?
Hallways has has John Wayne on it, you know, who I work with a lot, has Knowledge on it, you know what I'm saying, who just put out his Stones Throw LP called Hood Dreams, which is really deaf. The kid is really special, you know, this kid named Knowledge, he spells it with an X. So he's on there. My people Two Hungry Bros is on there, who I've been working with for a long time, as you know. Love Ben and Deep. My boy Sober Minded Music is on there, who's this cat out of coming out of Philly, who cats ain't really up on like that too hard, but is definitely flying. I think he's gonna be bringing a lot of joints, you know. Ono's on there. There's a lot of different people on there, but I think that's some of them and all. It's a whole bunch of my LPs. I normally use a lot of different producers, but J57 of course is on there.
You put out a lot, haven't you? Like, what do you have to, 7 or 8 LPs now?
That's my fifth LP. That's my fifth.
Lot, man.
I think I got 5 Work LPs off. And 5 EPs.
Bang.
But it tripped me out the other day when I was like, hold on a second, that some of these tunes, the tunes that I was first playing of yours, I was like, how can that be that was like 2007? It's like in a blink of an eye, you've known someone like nearly 10 years. Like, what the hell, man?
Yeah, 2007. Wow. Yeah, time flies and you're having fun.
Actually, it was Air Raid was 2008. Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, but I remember the Air Raid. That was the first. Yeah, so, I was thinking about if I should do that tomorrow. Me and Soch just put the set together tomorrow.
It just for me.
Yeah. Oh, maybe I'll answer to it. All right,
I can do backups on the mic, everything if you need it. So,
hey, you've got a law degree as well. Did you study law?
I don't have a law degree, but I was studying law.
You were studying it just for studying it. Like, you didn't even want to be a lawyer, is that right?
Well, you know, yeah. I mean, at that time in my life, you know, I was, you know, my mind was a lot of different places, so I was looking for a place I could kind of lay low. I kind of went to law school to lay low and all
law
that.
Law school to lay low. Yeah, I got expelled in year 10 or something like that. And that's all I got. I did a short course once. Yeah.
But no, studying law, I can understand the logic of it, even if you're not going to be a lawyer, because the law is something that is just going to affect you, you know? So it's better the devil you know, isn't it?
It's good stuff to pick up, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But I want to hear some music.
Yeah.
What would you like to play first?
You know what? Let's play off these Hallways joints. Because, you know, I want to play the Enough joint with J Live and Curious. Mm-hmm. That's actually the last song on the album, but those are two of my favorite dudes to get down. I know you're familiar with those dudes, so definitely want to play that joint, yo. Joint's called Enough.
You play that now? Enough? All right.
If you with it, I'm with it.
All right. This is Homeboy Sandman, who's joining us in the studio right now, and this one is Enough featuring J Live and Curious. Yo, Fubar, we'll be back. Homeboy Sandman live in the studio up next. That is Homeboy Sandman. It's Enough, the name of that one. That's featuring J Live and Curious. You're on FUBAR. It's Sarah Hugh and Michael Payne 2 filling in for Doc Brown. And we've got Homeboy Sandman in the studio.
In the flesh.
Live.
Thanks for playing that cut, yo. Shout out to my boys J Live and Curious, man. I thought J Live really came. A cat named Inspirimentalist from New Jersey.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you're vegan. I saw you're a vegan.
I was a vegan for a while. Not anymore.
What happened with that? Why did you decide to be vegan?
I thought it might make me a better MC.
Yeah?
It's pretty much why I do everything. Well, I wrote some ill-ish at that time, you know.
Did you attribute it to not eating meat?
I constantly be trying to maximize my creative output and, you know, brain function, you know what I'm saying? So
how do you go about doing that, apart from being vegan, trying vegan?
The vegan was one thing I do. One thing I'm trying to do right now is be really selective with my contact and interaction with people, you know what I'm saying? Yep. It used to be very, very important to me, you know, not being a foul or anything like that, but it used to be very important to me to get back to cats that got to me, you know, particularly people on a personal level. What I'm trying to do right now is actually stay a lot more focused and not even feel guilty or anything about not returning texts or phone calls, even people that I may have grew up with, only because cats need to understand that I want to stay in a place of focus and see what that's, you know.
I get like that. Stop fucking calling me, mum.
This discussion at the bus stop earlier.
Yeah.
I was having this discussion with Sarah at the bus stop, and I was saying my sort of record of being a hermit is not even leaving my flat, no human interaction. 11 days.
Wow.
Had everything I needed, because I've got a shop across the road from me. So I had everything I needed, had all the weed I needed to smoke. We're allowed to say that, we're uncensored. Fuck you, Ofcom. So basically, I had everything I needed, and my record is 11 days and nights without leaving my flat. Yeah, I am a misanthrope.
That's impressive.
People sometimes and love my own company. So I can relate as well. Not to the vegan stuff, though.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the vegan stuff is cool. That song, Fat Belly, is all vegan. I was vegan at the time I wrote that.
Oh, fair.
And it's mad food, you know. People think it's it's hard to be vegan, but I enjoy trying it out, you know. I definitely think there's a lot of health benefits to it.
It was so funny, though, because, obviously all the lyrics is, like, more about your vegan lifestyle at the time when you were writing it, and then the video, enough people hit me up and they were like, it's kind of weird, though, that there's, like, chicken in the video and stuff. But I was quite surprised how many people hit me up saying, objecting to seeing meat
in the video. I'm surprised they hit you, too. I guess, you know, the vegan community shouts to veganism. You know, people that, you know, like... I respect, you know, Cass and what beliefs they strong about, you know what I mean? I never was really one of these shaming vegans who was like shaming Cass, you know, you ain't vegan, I'm not really down with your style. But I definitely caught mad heat.
Even to the point where people contacted me too.
That's crazy. Like I didn't even know, other people. I didn't even mean to bring y'all with me there, you know what I'm saying? But.
So what turned you off being vegan? Was it a big cheeseburger or something?
It was just...
Food fight. Well, actually,
I was playing a lot of ball. I used to play a lot of ball, you know, up until recently. I played a lot of ball. And at the time of being vegan, you know, I always been kind of a... You know, had a decent amount of strength, you know, and it was, you know, kind of part of the way I played. And then when I went vegan, I was kind of getting pushed around like I never had been before. And, you know, as far as playing ball, I started to think, like... Something about this just ain't right, you know what I'm saying?
Feeling a bit more emotional, crying if you miss a basket, stuff like that. What's going on? I think I have an iron deficiency.
No, I wasn't like that. I always felt healthy, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I definitely feel stronger, you know, right now. And, you know, I still, you know, eat healthy, try to eat healthy and clean, but, you know, I definitely implement a lot of the protein, a lot of the animal protein, you know. I got a rhyme now, my favorite food and favorite animals the same, you know what I'm saying, which is, I guess, a full 180.
I've just got a quick question, actually. My friend is he's my DJ as well, because I'm an MC as well. I said that in such a rap way. I'm an MC as well.
I do hip hop.
I do the hip hop.
I do this.
I participate in the hip hop culture. Like, I'll have you know. But basically, my DJ Odin, we sat and got blazed and watched the Stones Throw DVD. My vinyl weighs a ton. Yeah. So basically, I just texted him because I know he's a huge fan of not just you but Stones Throw in general. And he just texted in this question to ask you. He's walking along the Thames with his parents at the moment. But he will be downloading the podcast. But he wanted to ask you this. Do you feel that rapping or your old job as teaching is the best way to connect to the youth?
I personally feel that rapping is way more effective. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's a very bugged out thing. You know, just the way kids grow up, you know, I guess the cues that they get with regards to what's important and who they should listen to. Entertainers, rappers, musicians are so further up the list than educators.
I hear that, yeah.
You know, which is a bugged out thing. You know, it's very bugged out. But, you know, I would work, I taught for 2 years, and, you know, I love my kids and I still build with a lot of them today, you know, but really trying to, you know, get at them for 2 years. You know, there was a time when I spent a lot of time, you know, as an MC going into schools for just a day and making a little, you know, talking with the kids for a minute. And I really felt like a lot of times I would really have more influence, kind of breakthroughs and really have people more attentive just in one day as an MC than I would have in 2 years as a teacher. Because they're like, why should we listen to you? You're not cool. You're a teacher. Yeah. You know
it's
what I'm saying?
Label,
like, I don't want to grow up to be a teacher. I want to grow up to be a rapper. You
it's
know
the
saying?
Label, isn't it? And what it entails, a rapper is automatically seen as cool.
Absolutely.
Whereas a teacher to most kids is seen as the oppressor.
Yeah, yeah.
And ain't nobody got time for that. No one's listening to the oppressor.
But then, so how does that feed into like what you choose to rap about and stuff then, do you think?
I think that the time I spend with kids, you know, and just, you know...
In terms of like, you're saying connecting with people like through the medium of rap.
Right.
Like, how does that play into what you decide to rap about? Because you're known for sort of like touching on issues that you don't necessarily hear trap artists rapping about.
True
and things
true
like that. It's not so much about like the, you know... getting down on the pole and everything, but yeah, so you're a little bit you know, more left field, some might say.
Right,
so
right,
I'm
right.
saying, like, why do you like, how important is it to like having the content?
For me, I mean, I look at the way that I grew up, you know what I mean, and the influences on me. You know, I talk about people who have been big influences on me. I talk, you know, Mos Def, you know, the Black on Both Sides album, you know what I mean, which is one of my favorite albums of all time. I feel that album helped me from a personal standpoint, you know. Fear Not a Man being the first track, you know, Fear Not a Man because man must, like, and rhymes on that album, you know what I mean? And even on the Black Star, like, I remember I was learning from Mos Def because he took the time to care about me when he was writing his art, you know what I'm saying? When he was creating his art, I felt like this is a dude, you know, who's not only concerned with getting put on or getting whatever, he's trying to, you know, hit me with something that makes some sense, you know what I'm saying? Like, I give a damn if any fame recall my legacy. I'm trying to live life in the sight of God's memory, you know what I'm saying? Which is one of my favorite lines. And he got a bunch of lines that I love. But cats that I've listened to, like, you know, I've spoken a lot about Black Thought being my, and cats from The Wu, you know, I feel the Jizza really brings a lot of science to things. And you know, like, cats that I really love the most, you know, I mean, even though, you know, Redman was a huge fan of mine, Eminem, like, guys would be crazy with it, you know, and Big Pun, but I mean, and there was 1,000 dudes I looked up to, but I was always able to appreciate people that I felt I was able to learn kind of life lessons from. And that's not even to say that I'm out here trying to teach life lessons to people, because I don't know, like, I'm trying a different thing every week, trying to figure out what to do, you know what I'm saying? But I do try to be honest with my records, you know what I'm saying? That way, if anybody, you know, some rappers is out here, and even some of the great ones, you know, I was talking to somebody about Ghostface the other day, who I think is a brilliant genius, you know what I'm saying? I don't particularly know... I think a lot of the stuff he raps about, you know, is creative stuff. You know, like G-Rap. I never thought G-Rap was out there really shooting people in the belly and that like that. But I listen to his music. But there's some rappers who I feel like it's coming from a place of real nature. You know what I mean? And that's something I always appreciate a little more. I try to come from that place.
I think that's important. And people feel they feel that authenticity as well, kind of thing. And they appreciate it. And I think also people appreciate hearing something that is so different, coming from a different perspective. perspective to what we hear mostly in the charts, which is pretty vacuous. Like, I'm not really getting any life lessons or schooling from what I hear in the top 40.
Yeah, I hear you.
From Kendrick, I hear you, for sure. Literally the only MC who's still, when it comes to mainstream artists, I think Kendrick is literally the only person flying the flag for just conscious stuff, you know? I can't think of anyone else.
Mm-hmm. I heard the other day that he doesn't drink or smoke. Is that true?
Oh, I don't know.
But I mean, I
thought he'd love a little 40 ounce once in a while. You know what I mean?
I mean, I just heard that the other day and was, I just thought that was fly. I don't know.
To be fair, I can't think of a time when I've actually seen him drinking or smoking. Mm-hmm. Or no, I can't think of a. Maybe he quit because obviously. Actually, no, because on swimming pools, that's about his. It's just
him kind of speaking about alcoholism, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that might be even a reason as to why he doesn't drink, just because of all the alcoholism he's witnessed sort of around him.
Well, let's get into another track of yours.
This one's called Problems.
Okay, Problems is yeah, we can play that one.
All right, so Homeboy Sandman, he's joining us in the studio right now. You called to stick around, mate?
Yeah, I'm chilling.
This is a big moment on FUBAR.
Yeah. That's Problems by Homeboy Sandman. You're on FUBAR. It's Sarah Hugh and Michael Payne, too, filling in for Doc Brown.
And you're Homeboy performing Sandman, tomorrow, dude. Aren't you, in London?
Yes, Jazz Cafe. Definitely come through.
And this is part of the UK tour going on.
Yeah, definitely doing a UK stretch right now. I'm going to be in... tomorrow is Jazz Cafe in London. That's the spot. Tickets are still available. It's going to be crazy. Me and Sosa put together the stupid set. I'm doing world premieres. I'm doing joints on the, because thanks in part to Sarah, I like coming to London because it's one of the places outside the States where there's familiarity with me that I sometimes find in the States, you know what I'm saying? Mm. So I'm really going into my bag of tricks, from all the different records.
Yeah. Do you have the same problems over there that you have here? Because that was such a dope tune, by the way.
Good looking up, man. Thanks,
but you're saying there one of your problems is you're surrounded by hipsters.
Yeah. That was it. Well, actually, the problem was because I said I'm surrounded by hipsters. What does that say about me? So I'm trying to... Yeah. Being surrounded by hipsters is not so bad. Unless it starts to make you think maybe you are a hipster and don't even know it.
I think it's too much of a taboo thing. The right wing, I kind of think, made being a hipster bad. Because in the times of, around the times of, like, the civil rights movement, for instance, hipsters were just forward-thinking people. Yeah. People that just embrace multiculturalism and stuff. Somewhere along the line, hipsters became these twats.
No, don't try and give it that much props. Do not associate the people who were down with the civil rights movement then. No, hipsters is a new phenomenon that is definitely linked in with gentrification and other things going on in society.
It has been lumped in with gentrification.
Economic things that are happening in the UK, in America at the moment as well, which blatantly feed into why this is happening now too. And that's a completely different terrain to what was going on in the 60s in
because
America.
The people have been labelled with this same name that people who had better intentions were called, if you get what I'm saying.
But I think then it was different. You had the hippie movement. Not to be confused with hipsters, though.
Hipsters have been around since the 50s. The term has been around, and it's taken a different form now. Hipsters now just means someone who is desperate to look cool.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, the negative connotation is just someone who's desperate to look cool.
I thought it was rich kids acting poor.
That as well.
I think the hipster anthem has got to be Remember Pulp.
So funny.
Remember Pulp, Common People.
Oh, yeah.
That's got to be. Do you know that?
No, there's a
British group called Pulp, but in the 90s they had this song called Common People, but the girl's like, I want to live with common people. I want to do what common people do. I want to chill with common people. Common people like you.
Right.
It's really, that sums up, that explains everything about hipsterdom today, and that's completely different to the original meaning of hipster.
Do you remember a more recent tune called Being a Dickhead's Cool?
That was funny, that ripped
the whole concept of being a hipster to completely dissected it. It was amazing.
It's very funny. So yeah, I'm sure there probably will be some hipsters at the show tomorrow.
There will be probably.
And so we've got love for everybody with goodness in their heart.
Definitely. You know, that's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? I got things I got to work on. Everybody got things they got to work on. You know, it's all good.
Amazing.
So you got a couple of UK dates as well. You're doing the Forum.
We did Cardiff yesterday.
Yeah.
And then we doing, where's the Forum at? Because we doing Leeds.
Kentish Town.
We're doing Tunbridge Wells.
Yeah, that's the forum.
We're doing that. I can't remember. All of this stuff is at homeboysandman.com. You know what I mean? Cool. You can find it and all
check
that.
It out, people.
And then we're doing Manchester and Leeds. And then we're doing the Boom Bap Festival someplace as well.
Amazing.
Oh, yeah, cool. Which is in the UK.
Yeah. Oh, no, I do remember seeing your name on that as well. Yeah.
So that's, the UK, I definitely, I love rocking out here. I always have fun.
Amazing. Yeah, well, we love you out here. And it's just so dope because to see the reaction from the first times I was playing you on the radio all those years ago and how excited people were. But it's so nice to see an artist who has followed through, because there's so many people that you get excited about and then it's like, what happened to that dude, kind of thing. And so
sometimes
to have that consistency
so
it's like it's nice for the fans to see an artist who is like building and progress is happening.
Anything being pissing you off this week?
This week's been a pretty cool week. Anything, man. I've been on tour, man.
Do you know, have you ever heard the term taking the piss?
Cats taking the piss out of each other.
Most Americans don't know what
taking, I didn't know about it before.
Why do you want to take my urine?
Why are you enjoying it?
I have a fetish.
Taking a piss out of you, right?
Yeah, it just sounds weird.
Yeah, taking the piss.
It does sound weird.
Because often when Americans try and say it as well, they say taking a piss. It's like, no.
Different things, mate.
Yeah, but we have a feature every week on the show called Are You Taking the Piss?
Oh, really?
And so it's a chance where the Food Bar Radio listeners get to like vent about what this week has made them say, are you taking the piss, mate?
Right.
And so always ask our guests, but maybe we should play a song so you can have time to meditate on that.
And we want to hear from you guys too. You can get us on the Twitter at Food Bar Radio or Facebook, or email in tuesdaydrive@foodbarradio.com and let us know what has been pissing you off this week. This is your chance to have a little vent, and we'll get your complaints up next on Food Bar. Who's home? Boy Sam, again, Refugee, the name of this one.
Yep, this is my boy John Wayne, kid.
In the studio.
Sarah Hugh and Doc 2 on FUBAR Radio.
That's Homeboy Sandman, Refugee, the name of that one. You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Michael Payne too, filling in for Doc Brown. And we are lucky enough to have the main man, Homeboy Sandman, in the studio with us right now.
Just a quick question after hearing that fudge. Do you ever participate in a bit of the older...
Because
you make perfect smokers music.
Oh, we're good looking out. Well, I smoked. I spent many, many years smoking every day and every second.
So just constantly. Still sort of like within you, that mentality.
Yeah, maybe I probably just smoke somewhere I still am hot.
It's so chilled, mate. It's so chilled.
I smoke less. I don't smoke it. I haven't smoked for a long time, but you know, I definitely used to smoke.
But shout all the key things out to everyone again before you're up out of here. So it's homeboysandman.com.
Homeboysandman.com. And then as you point out, I'm also now a social media guru. Social media, you know what I'm saying, whirlwind.
Going in,
you know
on what I'm Twitter.
Saying? Amazing. All right, it's time now, as we do every Tuesday.
I thought we were going to shout out your album and what people need to go and check. And there's a show happening tomorrow.
The show
stuff.
Tomorrow's at the Jazz Cafe. Come through. And then all the other shows is in UK. And then there's some... This is worldwide, because we on, you know, so we still got some France stuff and some Netherlands stuff coming through as well, and what have you. And my album is called Hallways, my last one, and I got a mad albums out. If you ain't heard all of them, you need to check all of them, because my joints, they last, you know what I'm saying?
And there's about 100 of them as well.
So
spend some time on it. All right, man, you've had a chance to think now. Has anything been taking the piss for you this week?
Dag, you know, I did have a chance to think, but then we started talking about something else, and I forgot.
People interrupting you.
Oh, yeah, your memory.
Yeah, I don't.
Your memory's been pissing you off.
Yeah, my memory's a problem.
You know. I got one. How about this? So I was at a pub during the week, and the lady served me shortchanged me, right? So I gave her a 10, and she thought I gave her 5. And I was like, you shortchanged me. And she's like, oh, I don't think so. And I'm like, yeah, I just gave you a 10. And she's like, well, you're going to have to wait. I'm going to have to count the whole till and like, da 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 da. Massive thing, made me stand there for half an hour.
Really? Taking the piss?
Yeah, no, that's messed up. Because you just kind of think, where did I put the money he gave me? Because obviously you've got different compartments for each denomination.
Yeah.
So you'd think, oh, if I put it in the top right, he gave me a 50. You should have said as you gave her a fucking 50.
I know, I should have.
She said it's right there, stuffed 50. Under the 20s, because that's where they always put the 50s.
Really,
when I used to rob stores and that, they always put the 50s under the 20s.
Yeah, it was terrible though. She literally, like, she's like, well, I'm going to have to wait till we're quiet. We'll quiet down a bit, and then I'm going to have to count the till to prove.
Dang. After she found out that you were right, did she apologize?
No, she didn't even say sorry.
She had no remorse.
I actually said to her, do I get an apology? Do I get an apology? She's like...
the bitch.
Oh man,
no, yeah. No, that the takes pitch. The piss big time, when yeah. it's like the no apology. So for regular Fubar Radio listeners to the Tuesday Drive, you know each week we take you through to Tuesday's taking the piss time, and so we love hearing from you. This show is all about you guys, you know. Mm. So it's like we want to hear your voices. Hit us up on the phone line 0330 2230 200, email to at tuesdaydrive@foodbarradio.com, and you can hit us on the Twitter @foodbarradio2. We want to know what this week made you say,
are you taking the piss?
Like, for real.
In that voice.
That's from Snatch. That's the dude from Snatch.
Yeah.
Yes. Homeboy sounds like a nose. You do like independent movies, man.
Yeah. Fucking hipster. Cool. We've already got a few coming through on the Twitter. This is Zara in, I'm definitely going to pronounce this wrong, Borumenwood.
Borumenwood. Because he's from Australia. It's always Wales, funny actually. To see how he interprets the messed up English spelling of like our English places.
How did you say Gloucester the first time you saw it, or Leicester?
Gloucester.
Yes, of course like you did.
Some of that stuff is pretty confusing.
It is. It's a mess.
The English language is the most confusing on the planet.
It's a mess.
This is Zara. She's tweeted in saying, I loved having 3 days off and was not mentally prepared for Tuesday at all. Tuesday is definitely taking the piss.
Are you taking the piss?
Definitely. Here we go. I've got another one in on Twitter. This is from Quint in Salisbury. I am so hungover from
Quint,
this weekend.
That's an interesting name.
Sam Booker.
Are you taking the piss?
No. But I love you. You are taking the piss trying to blame it on Zambuka.
Yeah.
You are taking the piss, man. Zambuka was not forcing itself down your throat.
For real.
Quint.
Are you taking the piss?
Eloise in Ealing, she's hit us up on Twitter as well, saying, I was rushing for the train. It was just two stops away on the tube when the tube was held at a red signal and I missed my train by about 2 minutes.
Are you
train
taking drivers. The piss?
Are you taking the piss?
On the
you should
tube,
have planned
though.
Ahead though, lovey. You should have always planned ahead.
It does make me laugh though when people complain about the tube. It's like, God, now I've got to wait a whole minute for another train.
It's all so much faster than the New York train.
Exactly.
So,
like, to anyone complaining
train after
about
train
the
after
tube,
train, yeah.
I'm like, just go to the subway and tell me how you get
the
on the train.
Plus, I got the soft seats out here.
The cushions.
I rock with the tube though.
I remember the first time telling New Yorkers that we had cushions on the seats. They were like, no way. Disbelief. It's like, yeah, pure luxury. That's how we roll in London. Yeah, for real.
Here we go. Another one. This is from Paula in Colchester. She just tweeted in saying, I just went to buy a hot new dress that I've had my eye on for a while. It's for a date tonight and I want to look good. The bloody shop doesn't have my size in stock. Size 6 and 8.
Those sizes shouldn't even exist.
No one wants
Hey, what are you talking about?
All right, 8 maybe. 8 veering towards a 10.
And then she finished off by saying, no one wants you, which is why you're the only sizes left in the bloody shop.
Are you taking the piss?
No one wants you.
Yeah, her size 8.
The dresses. I want you size 8. I want you. Sarah has love for you.
Here we go, another one on Twitter. Will from Lewisham. He says, my dad accidentally sent me a raunchy text that was meant for his girlfriend. Ooh. Mate.
Are you taking the piss?
That's not taking the piss. That's just disturbing.
That's weird.
That's like leave you traumatized sleepless nights for like a year.
And you don't,
like,
want to think, you don't want to think about
I'm shuddering and I don't even know you.
You just don't want to think about your parents on the job either.
Nah, I don't want to think about my dad's bits.
I'm even angry at my dad for fucking having sex with my mum. I still don't forgive him for that. Fucking prick. Dad, are you taking the piss?
Are you taking the piss?
No, you know what? This last weekend I was playing at Love Saves the Day Festival in Bristol, which was bananas. Mm. And like Grandmaster Flash was there. And a whole bunch of other people. Sinead Harnett, she absolutely rocked it. I was DJing for her. Then I did a DJ set. Yes, I'm Sinead Harnett's DJ. Yeah,
amazing.
So we're taking over the world.
Oh,
yeah.
I might be seeing you in September. Then I'll tell you why later.
Ooh, I'm excited already. And Sinead rocked it, and then I was doing a DJ set after Sinead's set, and then like the promoter kept coming over to me. He's like, "Yeah, your homeboy." Stormzy, he's getting hailed out today for taking the piss.
We're going to have to do this, Stormzy, mate.
No, because it's just like unprofessional to be late. Look, we travelled from London. We got there 2 hours before our stage loading time. So
Stormzy's
I'm sorry, there's
a grime MC, though. Stormzy's a grime MC.
Then you've got to take whatever label that people want to give to grime MCs.
David Rodigan. David Rodigan called Stormzy the future. But maybe he just meant he's not happening right now. It's going
to
be a bit later.
But you see, when it's like, I mean, I was standing with Rodigan as Stormzy was playing and he was just like, okay. But then for the dude to be like, oh, I felt so mad because I had to tell David Rodigan we're going to have to cut your set short.
You don't
because
say that to
Stormzy's
Rodgers.
Late.
No.
And then to go to Jar Shaka Sound System and say, we're cutting your set short because Stormzy's late. I'm sorry, Stormzy, you're taking the piss. You need to work on your timing.
Yeah, that's terrible.
You know, props to you as an artist.
Black people's time is not a viable excuse.
You can't actually use that. He absolutely rocked the set, but, you know, that was just a liberty on everyone. And then for the people who have paid their money, it's not nice for them.
Yeah, I hear that.
You know, respect people's time.
Here we go. We got another Are You Taking the Piss? This is on Twitter as well from Susie in Suffolk saying, I found a grey hair. I'm 24. Fuck you, grey hair. Fuck you.
Don't stress about it, Susie. Is that a Freudian slip there, Hugh? Fuck you,
grey hawk. Wow, what's going on?
You? Are you taking the piss?
How could you call it?
No, for a second, I thought she was going to say she found a grey hair in something where it shouldn't have been, like some food or ice cream or something.
All right, I thought you meant in a part of her anatomy where it shouldn't have been.
that's
like her ankle,
too.
I meant.
I got heaps of grey hairs. Look, I'll show you. Can you see?
I think grey hairs.
I
wish I had a head full of grey hairs, babe.
I wish my dreads would go white one day. I don't think it's going to happen. I hope my beard goes silvery grey.
That would look I genuinely do hope my beard goes a
But
nice
you know what?
Gray.
I think guys give themselves a hard time about balding and grey hair. I personally love a bald head, and I think grey hair looks fine too.
Yeah,
what are you saying over there?
Shouts to you.
Yeah, what are our producers saying?
The girls don't look convinced on the other side of the glass.
Yeah.
Silver Fox is killing it.
So really, it's the dudes who give themselves a hard time.
My mate's going bald, and I'm telling him,
losing your hair is dramatic. That's the first cuss I said, because losing your hair is traumatic and dramatic.
Right. No,
bro.
I understand.
Y'all don't want to go through that, man. Y'all just want to chill.
All I'm saying is there's ladies out there who love it, so you haven't got to give yourself a hard time about it, because it's beautiful.
All right, and we want to hear from you.
You ain't got no options, which is style, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to freak my beard 20 different ways.
You're like, cane row it this week, next week, bleach it, rainbow colours.
Yeah, that's the one bit.
All right, I'm the Ming the Merciless beard. That's what I want next.
We got some more Are You Taking the Pisses coming in. You can still get in touch with us at FUBAR Radio on Twitter, Facebook, or the email tuesdaydrive@fubarradio.com, and let us know what's been taking the piss. We'll get into some more right after Kendrick. You're on FUBAR.
Hey. I got a bone up
here. It's Kendrick.
We want the farm.
King Quinta, you're on FUBAR. Sarah Hugh and Michael Payne too, filling in for Doc Brown. And we have got homeboy Sandman in the studio.
Yeah,
and,
still in effect.
We are still doing...
Are you taking the piss?
Are you taking the piss? Giving you an opportunity to vent what has been pissing you off, who or something. And we want to hear from you. You can still get in touch.
Remember the way
Twitter
to contact
at
is...
FUBAR Radio on the Twitter and the Facebook. Or you can email in as well. Tuesday Drive at FUBARradio.com. We've got Sophie from Steams Upon Teams. She has she has tweeted us saying, to the kids blasting out shit music at the back of the bus, invest in some headphones.
Are you taking the piss?
Would it be better if it wasn't, if it was more palatable music, if it was to your taste?
Oh.
This is the thing. Shit seems to be the operative word.
Yeah.
But I think most of the time people who are listening to things on their loudspeaker on the phone are
It's always shitty rap.
Right? Exactly.
I be getting embarrassed, yo. That's why I try to separate myself
from
cats.
A bad name.
I'll be on a train in New York and I just be, you know, it's always shitty rap. I wish one day it was
for
classical. But
over here is
yo,
usually...
Yo, shitty rap is a powerful poison for your fucking mind.
It's a parasite.
It'll have you on a train fucking bugging out on some shitty rap shit. You know what I'm
just hating rap.
Yeah, it is a fucking...
Once that worm gets planted in your brain, it takes over your mind. You start thinking you like this shit.
Yes.
When in the first instance, you were like, that's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And then it's,
before you know it,
you're infiltrated by the virus.
Yeah. You know? It's serious. It ain't to be slept on, yo.
Yeah,
but
that's like an analogy of the industry, man, right there. It's a damn parasite. But I've got to say, my dad's friend was like saying that she was out with... my dad at a shopping centre, and he was walking around listening to the FUBAR show on the loudspeaker on his phone. I was like, Daddy,
that's not shitty
rap.
You
can't be doing that. It's not allowed.
We don't play shitty rap though.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's one exception to the rule.
I think he was applying some sort of balance really in the world.
But I think that's probably the oldest person that you've ever seen listening blasting music on the loudspeaker on
the
mobile.
What a legend. We've got Declan from Reading as well, has tweeted us saying, I've got a big spot on my chin and no amount of makeup is covering it up. God damn you, Spot.
Are you taking
no,
the piss?
Declan, you know, you've got to use my friend, I won't mention her name, my friend's technique where she just once it gets to a certain point, she gets the eyeliner out and adapts it into a beauty spot.
Amazing.
So to make it into a mole. And
wait,
I saw her
genius.
One day, I was
I
can't believe I've known her like nearly 20 years. I completely forgot she had a mole.
Went from
and
ugly duckling
like,
to
no,
Marilyn
Sarah.
Monroe.
No, Sarah, this isn't a mole. Oh, you remember right. But honestly, it tricked me and I knew her well. So
yeah, Declan,
get involved.
That's Declan, a really good because you're a guy, I'm assuming,
yeah.
with the name Declan. So definitely don't use makeup, mate.
Yeah.
Just turn it into a mole, pal. That should be enough makeup.
Just get
enough
the
makeup.
Sharpie out. Just get the Sharpie out, the marker pen.
or take tips really from our earlier sort of guest who emailed in about her dad dressing up as a clown. Just don't
just
yeah. loads
go
of makeup. Go all out, mate. Be a clown.
Maybe her dad has acne.
Yeah.
And that's why he dresses as a clown.
Well, maybe you're just getting into puberty, Declan. How old are you?
Actually, speaking of all over makeup, I don't know if anyone else has seen this. Speaking of taking the piss, anyone else has seen this Nivea advert?
No.
So Nivea, this bullshit people who I ain't got time for them now, but they've got this advert, they do like sunscreen kind of thing. I don't know if Nivea exists
in
the
States.
Yeah,
Nivea, they got Nivea.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But they've got this new advert where it looks as though they're like blacking up. And so everyone's like blacking up in the advert, but then it's like, oh, but when you switch, you can see that this is just it looks like without the special
Fair
lighting.
Play.
Right. But it's like, it's kind of messed up, man. Yeah, you need to search it because a lot of people are pretty offended by this. It's like, hold on, we don't need no blackface anything to sell anything. It's like, why have you gone to... Who sat around the table and thought, this is going to be...
Meeting, yeah.
Let's put millions into this campaign.
It's probably like Boomerang.
You think...
It's like the board meeting in Boomerang.
You think that it might have been consciousness to the decision to You think that people might have been like, yo, this is kind of a ill look to do, but let's do it anyway because we don't really, because black people are a joke to us?
Well, it makes
in
you
America,
question.
In America, black people are
standard.
Straight up a joke, getting joked
exactly.
all day.
Yeah.
It's just
this
constant
is what
jokes.
You're fighting. Yeah, well, race out there is just some madness.
Yeah,
sort of
Ohio's way better though. You know,
but so. No, I mean, to me, seeing that advert, I was like, it's very difficult to look at that and for no one in that company to have thought, hold on,
this
looks
like
blackface and it might
not
be appropriate.
Yeah.
So they knew what they were doing.
Piss.
Nivea,
Nivea,
are you
done.
Never rubbing, I'm never rubbing your cream on my balls again.
Here we go. I've got a couple more to get through before we wrap up the show. Here's Terry in Leeds has tweeted the same. My local shop has sold out of orange San Pellegrino, and I'm so thirsty. Sorted out shop.
Middle class problems.
That really is, isn't it? That is really bad.
We shouldn't even give him the Cockney voice. Are you extracting the urine?
And Mary in Walthamstow.
That's good.
Is that all right, that one? She tweeted us as well, saying, I wore a thin jacket today because my weather app said it was going to be hot. It's not hot now, and my app has lied to me. The weather and my app, both of you.
Are you taking the piss?
Yeah, yes, definitely.
I can relate. I have a total fear of getting cold, so I'm always wearing way too many layers. So I've got like a bag full of like long johns, like thermals, everything in there. So yeah, that's what you need to get involved
with. Girls are good like that, though. Like, because you always have like, you know, a bag or a purse or something like that, but you're always prepared.
We can survive on a desert island with what I've got in my bag right now. Okay,
girls are really smart.
I got this covered.
Girls are smart. They told me on my first day of high school. They said if you get lost, just follow girls around. They always know what they're doing.
That's a good point.
It's a really
That's
good
a very, very good point.
All right,
it could backfire, and you could be labelled a fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
Stalker.
So when? How long do you reckon you'll till you get off the toilet so we can?
I'm late for class. Are you done in there? Are you done in there? All right, that's just about time for us. Big ups to our guests today, Remy and Homeboy Sam, man.
Thank you for having me.
That was
pick up the album Hallways, check out homeboysamman.com, and if you're in London tomorrow, come through
Jazz
to the show.
Cafe
Jazz
is the spot.
Do that.
Amazing. Alright, that's just about time for us. We'll be back next Tuesday. Michael Payne, is this your last show?
This might be it for me.
Doc,
you know,
Brown's back next week.
Although we come to the end of the road,
the road
still I can't let go. It's so natural. I even did the full sound.
Yeah, you should have done the bass. I should have done the full
sound. Go to Fubar. Go to FubarRadio.com and you can catch the podcast as well. Here's Ty. I'm going to leave you with this one. One Day, Sarah Hugh and Michael Payne 2. We'll see you next week.
Sarah Hugh and Doc 2 on Fubar Radio.